Sunday, August 23rd, it's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we're really just going to kick out the jams on the swine flu, take your calls, go through a ton of news. The call-in line is 888-201-2244. I would appreciate it if this hour you kept it to the swine flu topic, and then we can jump off from there. I am going to lead in with this breaking Washington Post article. Now, this Post article actually lays a lot of what's going on down. Of course, it's soft core. It does talk about Guillain-Barré. If you don't know what that is the disease that people are getting, can turn you into a quadriplegic when you take the swine flu vaccine. Now, that happened in 76. It seems to be happening again. We're also going to go over the International Swine Flu Conference, which was not only a conference, there was a workshop where they really drilled a lot of the things that I have highlighted here. Just a ton of stuff. But let's go to the Post article first. And by the way, this stack right here, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, are just all of the local news articles preparing you for this swine flu epidemic. That's nothing more than a hoax. It's not an epidemic, folks. Again, over 30,000 people, according to the CDC, die from the regular flu a year. Yet this swine flu is not killing nearly as many people. I'm not seeing people with the masks on. It's Johnny nonsense. It's jackassery. Swine flu campaign waits on vaccine. Only third of supply is expected for first round of vast effort. Now, again, they want to make you want it. They want to let you know, oh, there's not enough for everybody. They want to create this buzz where if you're not the first to get it, you could be at risk. So they want you to be so dumbed down and so eager for this thing, you're literally running to your child's school to roll their arm up and then yours so you can be next in line. Government health officials are mobilizing to launch a massive swine flu vaccination campaign this fall that is unprecedented in scope and in the potential for complications. So far, so good, Washington Post. You are correct. The campaign aims to vaccinate at least half of the country's population within months. Let me repeat that for you. Half of the country's population within months. That's over 150 million people for those that don't follow anything, that just don't know how many people live here. 150 million. Let's say months means 3 months. That's still 50 million people strong a month. Talk about nightmarish. The United States has never tried to immunize so many people so quickly, okay? Now, officials say only about a third of the vaccine, as they were expecting by mid-October, is likely to arrive then, when the new wave of infections could be peaking. Now, here's some of the propaganda. Yes, it will be peaking after that first line of vaccinations, because when you stick people with it, they're going to get it. So, yeah, it will start to peak. Right there, because it's not happening right now. Of course it's going to peak. It's going to shoot up, all right? To prepare more than 2,800 local health departments, they have begun recruiting pediatricians, obstetricians, nurses, pharmacists, paramedics, and even dentists. Let me repeat that for you. Even dentists. That's a long list of people that they're recruiting. That's outside of the school system, folks. We're going to get to the school system soon. Don't worry. Along with a small army of volunteers from churches and other groups. You see, because schools are a great place to vaccinate people with kids, but how do you get the other people? You go to their church. And they're going to make those places mass vaccination centers as well. They are devising strategies to reach children, teenagers, pregnant women. Pregnant women are at the top of the list. We're going to get to that later. And young and middle-aged adults in inner cities, suburban enclaves, and the countryside. This is so broad. This is such an overview. This is such an important article. This is potentially the largest mass vaccination program in human history. Forget about the United States. In human history. And that's why this little conference, it's international, baby. It's worldwide. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to be back after this. The website is theinfowarrior.com, and we're live right now over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Warrior with Jason Burmis, and when we last left you, we were reading this Washington Post article, Swine Flu Campaign Waits on Vaccine, okay? Now, this is potentially the largest mass vaccination program in human history. Who's saying this? This is Howard Markle, a professor of medical history at the University of Michigan, and he also happens to be advising the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Now, remember, all this stuff is almost moot because they've already put you under the rule of international law by putting us under level six. And we'll go over that in the next couple of minutes. It's actually mentioned in this article. But what is WHO level six? Well, it's the highest pandemic level you could actually reach. It's almost like saying Ebola has. All right. Let's say today Ebola breaks out in the United States, kills 100,000 people. Just out of nowhere, boom. You can't go higher than level six. They would have had to declare level six for that. And I would say that that might be a good reason to declare level six. If we had Ebola, 100,000 people had it in the United States, whoa, that is a level six. Piggy flu? And it's not even piggy flu. I hate having to even say swine flu, folks. But that's what people know it as. If I don't say swine flu, or if I do, first of all, I'm persecuted if I do say swine flu.
Jason, you know it's not swine flu. You know it's three types of flu.
Yes, I understand. It is three types of flu. It's human flu. It's two parts piggy flu and one part bird flu, H5N1. Okay? That's true. That's the fact. But you're seeing that less and less in the mainstream. So we're just warning people on a massive level. The piggy flu is coming, and they're going to try to stick you in the arm. And this article just has just a bunch of delicious revelations in it. Let me tell you, folks. The vaccine effort carries political risks for the Obama administration. See, it's actually being a little bit honest here, but then it kind of plays it off into this paradigm where they're forced into doing everything. Let me explain. If the outbreak fizzles, they will be susceptible to being criticized for spending billions of dollars. So in other words, if this doesn't happen and people don't take the shots in the arms, the Obama administration sets themselves up for everybody criticizing them for spending billions of dollars, overhyping this, and that's what they're doing. But don't worry, people. They will get sick when they take the shot. That's the whole point. But here's the counterargument, and this is why it has to be done. On the other hand, if this outbreak is early and severe, and there isn't enough vaccine, they will be criticized for under-preparation. So what this means is that you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, so you better do it, okay? This is all pro-Obama administration. It gives you little tidbits of truth, but it presents it in a positive manner. There's little doubt that we're going to vaccinate people, said Anthony S. Fasuio of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who is leading the government's testing of the vaccine. So the guy who's leading the testing of the vaccine, by the way, which is going horribly, and they sugarcoat that as well, says, yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're vaccinating people. Boom. Biggest mass vaccination program in human history. And where is it starting? Here. Here. North America. Not just the United States. Canada's going to do it too. Okay? It's an international conference, folks. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's see. The campaign is haunted by... See, this is the one... There's like a little subsection of truth here. You ready? The campaign is haunted by memories of the government's ill-fated 1976 effort to vaccinate people against the swine flu. The epidemic fizzled. In other words, it was never, ever a problem. And remember, Gerald Ford, the president then, says the same exact thing as our current lord and leader, Barack Obama, does. It's like they're reading the same exact script, only they're not talking about this part in 76. The epidemic fizzled, but the vaccine was given to more than 40 million people and blamed. See, they say it's blamed for causing. No, it caused. So let's change that from and blamed for causing to it caused, because that's what's reality. Okay, Washington Post, I don't want to hear blamed for causing. It caused. Okay, it caused a rare paralyzing disorder known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. It caused people to die. See, they don't say anything about deaths. And it says blamed for causing, softening it up. It's like taking a fist and wrapping it with a pillow and just going, boop. Yeah, you feel a little bit on the chin, but it's not so bad, is it? It's actually a good thing. It woke you up a little bit. Then it says this, fears and misinformation about the vaccine are circulating. Ooh, we are big fear mongers here because we read the government documents. Because in front of me, I have the WHO document that tells you what level six is really about. This 39-page checklist for preparedness planning of influenza. It's right here. We're going to get to that again in a moment. This stuff is just so unbelievable to cover because they're outright saying you know, telling you about the Guillain-Barré, softening it up, and then saying fears and misinformation about the vaccine are circulating, including inaccurate claims that it will be mandatory. It's my claim that it's going to be mandatory. I need you guys to bring up that USA or that Today Show thing where they say the three spot shot flu. That's right. Not one, not two, but three. Mandatory. Remember, mandatory is the word they use. I'm not using the word. I don't get to decide who takes a shot or whether they should take it or not. That's not me. I'm not part of the bureaucratic, tyrannical, invisible empire that rules this planet. Okay. And by the way, the trailer for Invisible Empire may be up later tonight, maybe up tomorrow. We'll see. Working hard on it. Little segue there. But again, they're saying authorities are adamant now that it's going to be voluntary. Well, that's not what they've been saying all along. You know, this article is really trying to soften the blow of what's to come. Thank you, Washington Post. I hate people. You know, I woke up at like 6:30 in the morning. I decided to take my pup out and came back in. Couldn't quite sleep, so I threw the television on. And Chris Matthews has like a news show on early morning NBC on Sunday. And Bob Woodward was there and a bunch of, you know, establishment media personnel from Time Magazine. They're all joking about fact-checking and the internet. And these guys are trying, I mean, it just shows how spineless they are and how ridiculous they are. They're saying, oh, we can only go so far because we have to fact-check and we have to be thorough. They're not thorough. They're disgusting. Authorities are adamant that vaccination will be voluntary. No, if you look at what it says in this WHO document, okay, you take a look and it says mandatory, and we're going to get to that, 1.5.1, okay? We're going to read that nightmarish piece of international law, UN law, that we're going to be going by the way, because this is what this is. It's all about internationalism. It's about global government groupthink, okay? Let's see. To address concerns of pregnant women and parents with young children, some vaccines is being produced without a mercury additive. So right off the bat, they're telling you, yeah, 99% of this stuff is going to have thimerosal in it. It's going to give you mercury poisoning. And who do they want first? They want the kids and they want the pregnant women to come in. This is the one time you will hear that there is mercury in these vaccinations. Remember, mercury good when they shoot it inside of you, but mercury bad when it's, you know, produced by coal and it's in the environment. It's again, double think. We live it. It is so 1984 right now. I can't get over it. The CDC will step up monitoring for rare serious complications such as Guillain-Barré. See, they're not done. They're doing short-term studies, and they really don't have the personnel to study everything, but they're looking out for Guillain-Barré. On Friday, officials reported that no red flag regarding safety had emerged in the clinical trials. Please, give me a break. Let's see. In Maryland, officials estimate that 2.9 people will fall into the priority groups for the vaccine. Virginia estimates that number to be 2.5 million. Let's see. The total amount of people that they're planning on getting with this, out of the 300 million in this country, 159 million people. More than 50% of the population. Setting priorities for delivering the vaccines will bring other complications. The elderly, usually first in line for flu shots, will not be so this time because they seem more resistant to the virus. But they remain a top priority for seasonal shots. See, they figure that they can just get sick and die from the regular flu shots, so why waste the other one? We're also going to be talking about who's profiteering from this, because there are quite a few profiteers in this swine flu. All right, so what is pandemic level 6 and why are we under it? Well, again, this is their own documents. Let's go right to it. 1.6, it's probably on the page before that. 1.52. 1.51, legal and ethical issues. Okay. During a pandemic, it may be necessary to overrule existing legislation or individual human rights. That's right. You have zero individual human rights. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution mean nothing to you because you are under international law, according to WHO Level 6, which we're under. Interesting. Examples are the enforcement of quarantine, overruling individual freedom of movement, use of privately owned businesses for hospitals and buildings. Oh, so we're just going to take over buildings and make them mass vaccination centers, whether you like it or not. Let's see. Off-license use of drugs. The drugs don't have to work. And by the way, I'm reading this subsection right here, folks. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, compulsory vaccination or implementation of emergency shifts in essential services. See, the word compulsory, that's a synonym. Synonym for the slow people out there means same, okay? Compulsory and mandatory mean the same thing. Who knew? But when the Washington Post reports it, oh, that's misinformation. Mandatory shots are not real. It says right here, compulsory vaccinations. Off-license use of drugs. They don't have to work. Okay, these decisions need a legal framework to ensure transparent assessment and justification of the measures that are being considered. What are those measures? Oh, we're going to get to that in a moment. We're going to get to the measures that they're willing to go to in a moment on the other side of this break, and then we're going to go to your calls. The call line is 888-201-2244. And folks, I mean, they spell it out right here. The International Swine Flu Conference, it just took place a couple days ago. The little workshop ended on August 21st. Okay, they had their little conference, the 19th and 20th. It was on C-SPAN. If you saw that, you need to call in and tell me the highlights. But you know what it was. It's some bureaucratic sitting up there snickering, saying, we really got to do what we can do for these people. If it breaks out like this, who knows what could happen to the country? We could have a real pandemic. Ooh, the piggy flu's coming. We'll be back after this. Is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Remember, go check out the websites, Infowars.com and, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv.
But now to a report in this morning's Washington Post that the Obama administration is considering implementing a new fall vaccination program against the flu, a plan that would require Americans to get not one, not two, but three flu shots. Dr. Nancy Snyderman is NBC's chief medical editor. Nancy, good morning.
Hi, Meredith.
Unprecedented this is. How would this work?
Well, here's the idea. On the first Saturday when we knew swine flu was an issue, the Centers for Disease Control held a conference, and we were already talking, those of us who listened in, about how you can ramp up manufacturing this new vaccine on top of the old vaccine.
It takes a lot of time.
Right.
About 5 months or so.
And the decision was made, if we're going to get the normal flu vaccine to the general public in the fall, to hold it up while we figure out the swine flu was perhaps going to put the entire population at risk. So at that moment, the decision was made, we will go into normal flu production for the normal vaccine like it is.
For seasonal flu.
Right, for seasonal flu. Figure out what the swine flu really is, and then perhaps tag team a second vaccine on top of it.
Okay, so that's why they didn't combine them into one shot, but why two additional shots for swine flu?
For the normal seasonal flu that you and I talk about every year, there's a herd immunity to some extent, so you only need one shot. The new strain, we've never seen before, so that requires sort of thinking like when we give our babies or their first shot. You get your shot, it boosts up your immune system, and then you need a booster. So for the new H1N1 swine flu, for which there's no known immunity in our population, that requires two shots.
I would think, because it's hard to get people to take the original.
As we know, shot, right? Don't we? Since you don't get your flu shot in the fall.
No, I don't. Okay, fine. Okay. I might this year, though.
Good.
But now you're asking people to get three. That's a tough sell.
Well, Meredith, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This is going to be a public relations, trust your government.
All right, let's stop it right here. Public relations, three. Notice it was require. And notice in the WHO level six, it's mandatory, compulsory.
By the way, Burmes.
Yes, sir.
Here is the patent from 2007 originally, and they got it on March 5th, 2009. But they put the application in 2006, actually, and went through in 2007. Baxter for the swine flu vaccine.
Oh, isn't that just lovely? All right. And it's approved in March, right in the beginning of March, right after they sent it out in February. That's so weird. You know, they sent it out to 14 countries in February, the H5N1, the bird flu vaccine. Okay, they send that one out, and it has live bird flu virus in it. Oh, what are you? Kills ferrets. It doesn't make any news in the United States whatsoever. MSNBC does one small story on it, and it's totally and completely buried. Bloomberg reports on it, does three updates. No one picks it up. And these are the people that we give the swine flu contract to. Remember, it's not swine flu. It's three spots. One of them is H5N1 that's in this virus. And I suspect they probably would have said it was a bird flu epidemic had that not happened and they didn't need to clean up their tracks just a little bit. All right. International Swine Flu Conference. Let me show you how this works. Okay, they get everybody prepared. They bring in all these different organizations. Then they say, oh, by the way, we're launching the Continuity of Government Program, COG, which is the shadow government. Say it with me, kids. The shadow government exists. It's not, you know, it's not Sesame Street we're talking about here. We're talking about the people that make decisions without any repercussions, without any real legislation, without any input from we the people. Top leading and key decision makers of major companies, because we are in a corporatocracy, or corporate, I can't even pronounce it. We're really in a technopoly. But corporations, companies, it's all the same thing. Major government is them. They are the shadow government. They are the military-industrial complex. Are representing a broad range of industries. Major companies, broad range of industry. Very, very odd. You know, this is about keeping us safe, right? Not about profits. We'll get to that in a moment. It's about profits as well. It's about putting us under martial law, putting us in fear, getting us sick, and making a huge profit while they do it. Pretty disgusting. Pretty disturbing. Pretty unbelievable if you don't know the facts. If you haven't watched the 1979 60 Minutes piece where they admit that the swine flu paralyzed and killed a bunch of people. Remember, it was blamed for Guillain-Barré. It was just blamed. It didn't do it. It's so ridiculous. Let's see. They will meet. These large industries and major companies are going to meet with scientists, public health officials, law enforcers, first responders, and other experts to discuss pandemic prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery. Well, here is pandemic preparedness planning right here in the little WHO book. Oh. And this is an international conference. Oh, is the United Nations going to be there? You bet they are. The United Nations Coordinator for Avian and Human Influenza, Alex Thierman of the World Health Organization. Let's see. And Dr. Wenging Zhang of the WHO Epidemic and Pandemic Alert and Response Team will be there. Or were there, I'm sorry. This already took place. What are they talking about? Well, topics will include, let's start it off the bat, mass fatality management planning. All right, we're getting ready for dead bodies, baby. Woo! For some flu, for some sniffles, for something you should be drinking ginger ale, having some chicken soup, and crackers over. Mass fatality management planning. Look, I've got like a dozen callers on the line. We're going to come back. We're going to take your calls, go over this document big time. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Just another couple minutes of me ranting on this International Swine Flu Conference document and what took place in the past couple days. And then we will go to Ronnie, Paul, Roland, Jeff, Arthur, Sherry, Mark, Travis, Dave, and many others. Yes, we have a loaded phone line, so please be patient. All right, so topics are going to include mass fatality planning. Oh, National Pandemic Influenza Medical Countermeasures. They're all in that document right there. If you want to read what they are, we already read the most important section. No individual human rights for you. I can promise that. Concurrent breakout session number one, mass fatality management planning. Mass fatality management planning. Well, what's underneath that? Developing and implementing training and exercise programs. And that's why I have this stack of articles right here, which are all local news articles from Arizona to Illinois to Texas. And I think there's a couple others. New York and New Jersey are also in here. And they're all running drills that are similar to one another. Weird. Weird. And they're all taking place right around the time of this International Swine Flu Conference or afterwards. Very odd indeed. Interesting how this is being coordinated. Local news articles all about what's going on in my hand right here to the left. So under mass fatality management planning, we have develop and implement training and exercise program. That's what this is all about. We'll get to that later. Direct fatality management tactical operations. How are we going to get rid of those bodies? Activate fatality management operations. Conduct morgue operations. Manage anti-mortem data. Seems pretty glim. Okay. Well, what are we going to do in the next one? Psychological issues. What are we going to do if people are unwilling to follow the government's orders, what are we going to do? Well, since you have no individual human rights, they could probably just shoot you right in the head. Or they could enact, instead of WHO or international law, they could just enact Presidential Directive 13375, where they can put you into jail for up to a year and then fine you for $250,000. It's very lovely. Let's see. So don't follow the government's orders. We got plans for you. Concurrent breakout session number 4, continuity of operations, and here it is, continuity of government planning. Oh, but the shadow government doesn't exist, Jason. No. See, this is where you get your Google skills into play, okay? This is where you can find out that the shadow government is real. Continuity of government is the shadow government. That's what they're when they're saying continuity of government, that's, again, a synonym for shadow government. It's the same exact program. Most people can't wrap their heads around this. The shadow government only exists in those James Bond movies, Jason. Yeah, they're good movies, but that's what they are. They're movies. You're a liar. Well, it says when H1 flu pandemic unfolds in 2 or 3 successive waves in a calendar year, what are we going to do? Remember, they're going to do it in waves. When they get everybody sick with this first wave of shots, they're going to claim all the people that they got sick. You know, they just didn't act in time and people already developed an immunity, and those people they shot up and got sick will get other people sick, and they'll do it in waves. See, they've already engineered this. Law enforcement agencies must control and diffuse social unrest and public disorder. And how are we going to isolate prisons and other facilities? They also talk about effectively undertaking mass vaccinations and enforcing quarantines. Where did we read about quarantines? WHO Level 6 Checklist for Influenza Pandemic Preparedness Planning. Let's see, they're going to control traffic, evacuation, and mass transportation. They are planning for a 30 to 40% drop in the labor force. Do you hear me? Almost one-third to half of people will not be showing up to work for some reason. That is unbelievable to me. To say, to say 2 in 4 or 1 in 4 aren't going to show up to work. Well, they're saying more than 1 in 4. 25% isn't even on here. And then they have to train the workers to screen for symptoms and know what to do when other workers fall ill. And they're doing the same thing for teachers in schools. Train teachers to screen for symptoms and know what to do when students, teachers fall ill. Transport ill students. Oh, they get to go to the nice little quarantine center they've set up. Isn't that lovely? Your kid goes to school. A teacher says, I don't know, he could be sick. I don't want that swine flu. I can't stand it. And he goes on a bus. Because they also say effectively transform school facilities into shelters. So the schools themselves might become the quarantine centers, or other schools or churches like they discuss in here, or other businesses that they take over. I mean, again, it's all about internationalism. It's not about federal guidelines. It's about the UN takeover, baby. And then, of course, they have to deal with the infectious waste management from all of these bodies. Because the big thing, I mean, I need you to zoom in on this right here, Hoosh. I mean, look at the very first thing. What are they worried about? Mass fatality management planning. That's what they're worried about. A bunch of people dying and what they're going to do with the bodies. For the sniffles. For something you need a Kleenex and a bottle of Schweppes for. That's it, okay? Maybe some chicken soup. That's about it. A little ibuprofen. That's what they're getting ready for mass casualties with. All right, I got like a dozen people on the line. I already ranted about this document for half the segment. Let's go to Ronnie in Texas. Ronnie, you're on the line.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, sir. I've been on hold for a while, and I have to defy your rule there about having to speak about the swine flu, if you don't mind.
I do mind. Got to let you go. I told you we were going with swine flu callers right off the bat. Listen, I don't ask for much on the show. You get to talk about whatever you want in the next 2 hours. I said we were spending the first hour on the swine flu. I understand you were holding for a long time, Ronnie. Listen, you call back in the next hour or the hour after where I'm taking calls, I'll throw you to the top of the line. I got a dozen people on the line. If it's not swine flu, hang up, folks. I mean, that's what we're talking about. I didn't even get to these 15 local articles that I have to go over. Let's go to Paul in California. Paul, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
This is what I'm freaked about. My 11-year-old is about to enter middle school, the sixth grade, and with all the swine flu vaccination and everything, I'm just really concerned that they could actually force inoculate her at school, not even give her an option.
Well, they're not going to try to give her an option. Listen, this is what I would look out for. First of all, in the first week, month of school, you get a ton of permission slips and guidelines for extracurricular activities. Watch for them sneaking in a provision into other, you know, other activities and language where they say that you're for the swine flu. In other words, they'll get your signature on something. You don't even realize that it involves inoculations or the swine flu. They'll be very slick about it. So number one, don't sign anything you read a dozen times. Number two, when they decide to make your kids a school, a mass vaccination center, which it looks like they're doing for all these different schools. Again, I have the paper right here where it says New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Arizona, parts of California. All of them are local stories. They want to use these places to get your kids and then the parents afterwards. Now, this Washington Post article is trying to claim that it's not going to be mandatory. Well, it's not going to be mandatory, and really there is no way to actually make it mandatory constitutionally. Just say, look, we're not taking the shot. I have a moral objection to this. We don't take shots in my family. You got to fight it tooth and nail. So you just got to be aware. Yes, go ahead.
I mean, the National Guard and the military are standing by. I don't know what these creeps are capable of doing anymore. I'm freaking.
Well, that's when you just take your kid out of school for the week. Look, I know it's scary. We didn't play the clip yet, but last week they did. One of these drills did involve the National Guard. The National Guard, not even in regular National Guard uniforms. They were in basically black military police state type riot gear that was like decked out in National Guard colors. But they had the batons, they had the chest plates, they had the big black masks. And if it does get to that level, listen, you got to take your kid out of school. I mean, if it even gets to the level
of pandemic, can't they force it?
Well, they're going to say they can force it, sir, but the bottom line is they really cannot. Listen, we're not under UN law. We're not under international law. Yeah, it says it in that document. Yes, that is going to be the framework for which they build on, which they're building the infrastructure now. But you just have to straight up say, no, look, I am not one of those guys that preaches, you know, the Second Amendment, we got to get out there, we got to take this country back. But that's what the Second Amendment is for. If somebody is coming into your home and saying, look, you're coming with us or else, or you're taking this or else, that's when the Second Amendment is the most useful for us. That's when it really has to be taken into place. And you know what? I haven't read this Common Sense article by Larry Flynt. I'm going to do so in the next segment. Jones only read like the first half of it in his radio show. He does talk about a Jefferson quote here that I think is extremely relevant. So listen, this is the best advice I can give you. Keep your head up, okay? Keep your ear to the ground. Educate your kid. Let them know it's not okay to take any shot. And if they try to force them into a line or say they're taking a shot, to immediately contact you. I don't know how old your child is, but I would suggest maybe getting them a prepaid cell phone. You know, go spend the $30 for a, you know, Virgin
He's
mobile
11,
phone.
And I said, just start running. Just start running home.
Well, where are they going to run to? You know, sir, that's the thing. Listen, if they've got a cell phone and they can contact you immediately, at least you can get down there. And if you really want them to run to somewhere and have you meet them somewhere, that's the best way. Have a plan. Be close to your family. That's the best advice I can give you, sir. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Roland in Massachusetts. Roland, you're on the line.
Jason,
yes,
it's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
I've done a lot of great things I want to share with your listeners, especially if they live in Massachusetts. There's an organization statewide. It's called Liberty Preservation Association of Massachusetts, masslpa.org. Mm-hmm. We are launching a campaign. We've already been doing this, but now in the fall they're planning on retaking up this bill in the House, which already passed in the Senate. It's a pandemic and disaster preparation and response bill. And it passed the Senate already. Now they're planning on taking it up in October in the House. Basically, it says everything you went over in the WHO document.
And I think you've got it backwards, sir. It went through Congress, which is the House, and is now going through the Senate. It doesn't go vice versa.
Well, in the Massachusetts, it already passed in the Senate.
You're saying that it went through the state Senate in Massachusetts?
I'm talking about a state bill.
Okay. All right. My bad.
Yeah, it's called S-2028.
Okay.
And as a direct result of MassLPA's lobbying, we've actually been able to actually get some of these senators who have voted for it to issue statements saying that they will not support it in the fall, and that they're and so we've actually had some good positive responses as a result of our work. Not so much me personally, but a lot of our members out west, especially in Western Mass, have done a lot of great work. Some people out in Boston. We're all divided up in a district, and I would urge your callers in Massachusetts to go to masslpa.org, join up, download the flyers and the trifolds we have, and get involved in this thing, because it looks like they are trying to do something here.
Well, sir, we have the website up on the prisonplanet.tv right now, and I thank you for the call. I do urge everybody in that area to alert your neighbors, and this does look like a good organization and a great way to get the word out because, you know, they're trying, again, the guy was asking me, well, what do I do? Well, they're going to try to claim international law, but they're building the infrastructure, so it's also state law. It's federal law, okay? Local government's going to come at you. They want all of their bases covered. They want to be able to claim multiple jurisdictions over you. Look, you're your own jurisdiction. You're your own free human being. You're your own entity. Your child is yours. It is not the state's. All right. You need to know what to do and how to step up to the plate and take action if this hysteria turns into much, much more. And they're spending billions and billions of dollars in infrastructure to make sure that it is much, much more. All right. Let's go to Jeff in Texas. Jeff, you're online.
Hi, Jason. Quick bit of swine flu news in the magazines. I was downtown Austin at the Whole Foods World headquarters, and on the magazine rack was an audaciously named magazine called Mental Floss, a magazine for thinkers. Mm-hmm. The magazine was a joke, but what I want to point out was that there was a big article titled How to Win Friends and Inoculate People, and it was all about how the U.S. Navy is going to be sending their hospital ships out to foreign ports, not with soldiers and guns, but with nurses and doctors and vaccinations.
Oh, it's because, again, it's a lot easier for people to line up to roll up their sleeves than to line up at a shooting range and be gunned down. Yeah, does it take, you know, 10 or 20 years to take them out with a soft kill weapon? It does. But we're willing to be that patient if they're willing to be that docile and come over and say, please give me the sickness. I thank you for the call, Jeff. Let's go to Arthur in Massachusetts. Arthur, you're on the line.
I already said Alex broke in with my first one. I left with a call there. The next one here is the CDC, their definition for the novel H1N1 flu. Mm-hmm. You know, it's novel. It broke out, you know, April 2009 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it refers to, scientists call this a quadruple reassortment virus. You know, come from four different things. I think when you mentioned it before, it's like three different ways.
Well, let me say three, because I believe it's two parts H1N1, one part H5N1, and one part human flu. So I guess if you want to break it down, I mean, it is four, but it's two parts of swine flu, one part bird flu, one part human flu, correct?
There's four separate parts.
So which one is the fourth? Are you saying that what's the fourth separate part if it's not?
Yeah, you can get a right, you know, this is what the CDC's definition. Mm-hmm. What they have on their site, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what this lets me get, you know, with this thing being actually, he had the antivirus that came up years ago where they got the patent coming on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of serious. Like, they released that. Well, what do they really have to release if that was the preliminary?
Well, you know what? Let's go over. I thank you for the call. What they originally said. They said, oh, this is, you know, coming from Mexico. It's pig flu. We need to worry. Then they couldn't find any pigs with it in Mexico. Then the first case of a pig having this quote-unquote swine flu virus occurred in Canada. And then they tried to blame it on this Mexican migrant worker that made it all the way up there. Now, when this little CFR queen went on the Colbert Report, and you know, we got to pull that one too. Look for Colbert and swine flu. It's that woman that had the cover of Newsweek with the piggy sticking out, and she calls Lou Dobbs a racist, and then she says that the swine flu didn't come from Mexico. And I don't believe it did come from Mexico, but then she doesn't allude to where it really did come from. She tries to say the United States, but they didn't find any pigs with swine flu in the United States. It's complete made-up nonsense. And, of course, she's fear-mongering that everybody needs to take this thing. All right? So she's on the Council on Foreign Relations. She wants everybody to take the shot. She calls Lou Dobbs a racist. She makes fun of, I believe it was the head of Health and Human Services in India or something like that, something very close. She was critical, or I should say, I'm not sure if it was a she or a he in India. They were critical, and they said, this looks like a bioengineered virus, okay? Yeah, I do believe that is the clip, guys. Now, anyway, they believe that this was a bioengineered virus, and then she says, this person in India thinks the government did it, or the Jews. They love throwing the J word around. You know, this woman had nothing to do with saying the Jews did the swine flu. No, she said, this looks like a bioweapon made up in a lab. You're not allowed to say that without having the establishment opposition come up and try to make you out to be a racist. A racist. So we're going to come back with that clip. We're going to come back with more calls on the swine flu. We're going to hit up this stack of 20 or so articles, and then we're going to get to other news and other calls. Sorry about that first caller, folks, but had to be done. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Go check it out over at InfoWars.com right now or streaming live at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now, madam, you, besides having written books like The Coming Plague, you have written the cover article on the new Newsweek, Fear and the Flu. And then this little image, a little snout, the piggies are right outside our door, trying to lick our children. Now, should I be terrified? Is this the end? Is it all over?
No.
It's not?
No.
Why should I believe you?
This particular virus is new, and it's mm-hmm. a nasty virus, but it's not nasty enough.
What's nasty enough? You say that there are people out there who could have swine flu, and we don't know because they're not sick enough to be tested for the swine flu. What is sick enough? What gets you? What gets your blood drawn?
You have to be in a cluster of suspicious cases. You have to be running a high fever. You have to be nauseated and, you know, the flu, a really bad, rotten case of flu.
But I get that, and I go to the doctor, he doesn't draw my blood. He just says, you got the flu, go to bed.
Yeah, well, you're not in the middle of an epidemic, but now you are.
Am I? So we're in the middle of an epidemic right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, we're in an epidemic right
okay.
now.
Okay. Now, you write about epidemics and this kind of stuff all the time. When you heard that there was a swine flu going around, did you think, cha-ching? I got... I smell cover story! Boom!
Actually, the
Mama needs a new pair of shoes!
My really big problem is the biggest sales are in Beijing, but the Chinese steal my royalties.
Oh, there it is. Now, now God gave us a pretty good warning about this, madam. He said, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you.
Yes, so the point being, having giant industrial-scale pork farms where we have wall-to-wall zillions of pigs, and outside, lots of birds, and then people walking in and out.
Total propaganda.
Created this artificial
continue.
Ecology that is extremely dangerous.
But why is the pig the vector for, you know, avian, for bird viruses and for human viruses and pig viruses? Why are they individual, like, walking, talking, eating, pooping petri dishes?
The term we use is mixing vessels. It's a little more polite.
They're a mixing vessel?
Term.
Why are
They're
pigs
a mixing
a,
vessel.
Why are pigs a mixing vessel? Why do all these viruses inhabit this one pig? Is it because pigs are so delicious? Is that
it's
what it is?
Pigs will eat anything. Absolutely anything. They
but,
will.
But it sounds like any
more propaganda.
A pig, like a, anything. These they, viruses will go into a pig.
They have a very permissive GI tract.
That sounds like they have loose morals in their guts.
Yeah, well, close. Close. But, you know, the real thing is we also are worried about chickens, and we have really good reasons
I'm
to be worried about
chickens.
Chickens.
Go on. What
because,
else?
Because,
why should I be terrified of chickens?
Because, okay, you're worried about H1N1, the pig virus,
yes.
but there's H5N1, the bird virus.
Is that five times as bad as H1?
Actually,
is H5 five
actually
times?
More like about 850 times as bad.
Well, now, was this the thing
the
that
mortality
we were...
rate of that one
yeah.
in Indonesia right now is 82% of the people who get it die.
Okay, so now that bird flu is where around in Indonesia?
It's actually in many places all over the world. Just hasn't come to the Americas yet.
Who you say that Mexico did a good job handling the swine flu outbreak, other than, you know, the fact that they had the outbreak. What what governments are not so forthcoming?
Here.
It started here?
It started in the United States of America.
But it's the Mexican flu.
We exported it to Mexico.
How did they get it?
Thank you very much, Mr. Lou Dobbs.
Do we need to quarantine Lou Dobbs? Is that what you're saying? You're not. I think you just called Lou Dobbs a swine. Now, what countries have not been so forthcoming and helping epidemics like this?
Well, Egypt is running around killing 300,000 pigs, and they don't even have any of the pig flu there.
But just pigs are not halal. That's one reason. No, what?
Because of the 10% Coptic minority that they mm-hmm. want to repress. But also, Indonesia hasn't shared any of the bird flu viruses that have emerged
Why
in that
not?
Country. Because the Minister of Health believes that somehow we actually make these viruses. We, the evil Americans, a.k.a. maybe the Jews, not really clear.
Maybe the Jews. And Lou Dobbs is bad. Weird, coming from the CFR. We'll be back after this. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. It is the swine flu extravaganza here on the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're taking your calls. And before we go to Sherry in Texas, Mark, Travis, Dave, and Lee, I want to read this one out of New York. York Education, rally to host flu shots, serve as an emergency drill. Yes! The clinic will also serve as a live drill for the city's point of distribution plan. This is as real as you can make a drill, said David L. Hawk, the City Bureau of Health's medical director. This would also have all York residents responding to William Penn Senior High School. The county is working on plans in other school districts. The Office of Emergency Management in York County said that schools were chosen as sites because people are familiar with their locations and they have bus routes. Bus routes. See, they can just bus you in. You get that knock on the door from your local National Guard. Hey now, guy. You know, he's going to come there. Hey, ma'am, how you doing? Look, we're just rounding everybody up for the swine flu. We got the bus there. And looks like, according to my paperwork, that you haven't taken your shot yet. I'd like you to go get your four-month-old baby and your husband, if you could, and we're going to get on this little bus here. Don't worry. Everything will be over in just a couple of hours. It'll be very, very quick. This is the first live drill that will take place September 19th and thought of using the plan to distribute the swine flu shot everywhere if needed. We are in this drill on September 19th. They're looking to do a minimum of 1,000 shots. Meanwhile, it has mercury in it, and it gives people Guillain-Barré. And Guillain-Barré, folks, as weird, and I mean, it sounds kind of like Wade Boggs. You know, if Wade Boggs wasn't a person, it's kind of like Guillain-Barré. You know, just like this crazy disease that you don't want. You don't know how crazy it is. I would rather be dead than be a quadriplegic. Okay, if I can't use my arms and I can't use my legs and the only thing that's running is my mouth, it will be a cold day in hell for Jason Burmes. I don't think I could live like that, folks. I really don't. We'll get to some of the other local articles in a moment, but let's go to Sherry in Texas. Sherry online. Yes, Sherry.
I called C-SPAN on June 29th when they had Peter Brooks on from the Heritage Foundation, and apparently he's like some kind of bioweapons expert, and I asked him about the Baxter incident, and he totally, of course, denied knowledge of it and said that the problems with bioweapons, and then he changed it and said biotechnology is that it's so pervasive. And then another woman called in right after that and reminded him of the Department of Defense receiving money to dig up the 1918 flu basically reconstruct it, you know. And then Dr. Carly called in and gave him the real facts about it and gave a reference to another video that PBS did that had Terrence Tumpy from the CDC literally pretty much admitting that he wanted to take the H5 component of avian flu, which is super deadly, and then put it in with the H1 from the H1N1 swine flu.
No, I've seen that. That's the PBS where they're from the 90s, right? That PBS special's from the 90s where they're discussing.
In 2002, it really started taking off, though. The real research did, because I think they've done two expeditions, I think, to dig it up.
Look, this CFR woman on Colbert trying to claim that pigs are mixing vessels
ridiculous.
And not only is it ridiculous, she also tries to claim that pigs in the United States are the ones that originated the swine flu. We don't have one case of a pig in the United States having it.
We haven't found a single case of that.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's like Munchausen syndrome. It's like Munchausen syndrome, you know, when someone has Munchausen syndrome by proxy, they hurt their children to get attention or to get what they want, you know, by using their child. And I think the government's kind of doing that with us right now.
No, they're absolutely
like
doing that with us.
Syndrome.
Yeah, it is a lot like that, only they're also going to make a profit on top of it. I thank you, Sherry. And you know what? Let's get into that right now. This is on MSN Money. Let's see. Mayan Lab's going to make a profit. Teva Pharmaceuticals, Sanofi Aventis, Novavax Incorporated, BioCryst Pharmaceuticals, and others going to make quite a bit on this. And, you know, some of these articles are also saying, hey, take the Tamiflu as well, even though they admit the Tamiflu ain't going to help you one little bit. It's about the scratch and the power, baby. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Like many other traders, I had a great idea in the back of my mind just waiting to be researched and put into action. I knew that swine flu would cause certain stocks to jump even if they were only remotely attached to the actual pandemic at hand. Folks, a lot of people are making a lot of money on our hysteria, on our soon-to-be misery, on our soft-kill virus weapons that we'll be just like rolling it up for. Boom! Yeah! So a Millen Labs popped on my radar when I tried to connect it as an American maker and supplier of the Swiss-based Roche flu remedy, Tamiflu. Now remember, Tamiflu's not going to help, admittedly, will not help you one iota, not one little bit. And they're going to be making some serious cash, okay? Because when you can't take the shot, they're going to say, well, we've got some Tamiflu. That'll help your immunity. That'll help your immunity. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Teva Pharmaceuticals. Tema is one of those rare stocks that would have richly rewarded a buy-and-hold investor over the last decade. Pull up a monthly chart at the slow assault on the heavens that pulled it off, and it is making money yet again. The other three, I don't even really want to get into, but it is SNY, which is Sanofi Aventis, Novavax Incorporated, and BioCryst Pharmaceuticals. Look for these people to make a lot of money in the coming months. Mark in Georgia, you're on the line, sir.
Yes, Mark. Good. I do want to stay on topic.
Thank you, sir.
But I can appreciate, basically, we're talking about eugenics here, and obviously they can't call it the genetically engineered virus. It's kind of like you really think a politician is going to run on a pro-tyranny, pro-human sacrifice platform because he's really a Satanist. No, it's not what they tell you. I think that humor, as I was saying to Alex the other day, sometimes humor will get by a point that they're saying, okay, on the defensive side, they're saying, okay, it's a joke. There's a clip from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You know, the bring out your dead, clang, and this guy's got his father flung over his shoulder. But they're arguing like, well, look, I can't take him. It's against the rules. And they wind up just basically wasting the guy just because he didn't want to use the theater around. I just uploaded that onto You Do News. My account, if you don't watch, you know, I want to make sure it's okay by you. My account is Mark Anabaptist. That's another thing I've got from Monty Python is, let's not go on and on about who killed who. The Anabaptists were people who they agreed with the idea of Reformation, but they didn't think it was going far enough, and they got murdered by people who call themselves Christians on both sides. I uploaded that clip from Monty Python and the Holy Grail because, in a way, it is, granted, a bit twisted humor, but it's the humor that makes a point. And the thing I want to be clear about when we make jokes, and I was like, don't miss the point we're trying to make just because we're trying to use humor to keep people from being on the defensive mentally, where they're saying, well...
That's true, man, because especially me... You know, Mark, I am very lighthearted, you know, and I might have a smile on when I'm talking about some of this stuff. And unfortunately, this is not, you know, smiling, happy, fun, sunshine, unicorns and candy canes material. This is hardcore, better wake up and get ready material. But, you know, I have to come at it this way because I see it every single day. You know, I scour these lines. And even though I'm not as hip to everything as I was maybe 2 or 3 months ago when I was doing my daily show, and I really am working very hard on the film and trying to concentrate on that subject matter, it's everywhere. Okay, I can't turn on my television at, you know, again, 6:30 in the morning this morning. After that, on Chris Matthews, they're talking about swine flu on another local news network. And I can't escape this stuff. So I feel compelled to try to, first of all, take it in, report it to the people, and be somewhat humorous about it so that they can at least look at this information and not pull back from fear. I thank you for the call, because we don't want to be too afraid. See, when that fear starts to consume us, that's when we get all fidgety and we don't know what to do. And then maybe we are going to let the man take our, you know, our elderly mother away or our child away, or allow them to vaccinate the kid at the church. And I'm just do it, you know, and that's what you don't want. Okay, you want to know the facts. You want to be able to stand up to somebody. You want to be confident. You want to make eye contact, and you want to say no. But at the same time, you know, I'm a laid back guy. I can't live in fear. I know we're in a very serious situation here. We've been in a very serious situation since they laid this hoax on us in April, and it has gotten progressively worse. See, that's what I don't think people understand, that I always try to reiterate to people. These are gradual things. It is very hard for them to go to 0 to 100 in a day, a week, a month, sometimes even a year. See, what they are trying to do in this one-year time span is go from 0 to 100. And they may be able to be successful. But even if they hit, you know, 65, 70. So in other words, they're planning on 159 million vaccinations in this country. I'm sure they'd be satisfied with 75 million. You know, that they're shooting for the stars and overboard to see how many gullible suckers they can get. All right, let's go to Travis in Illinois. Travis, you're on the line.
Hello, sir?
Yes, sir.
Hello. I am actually going into the Navy to be a nuclear engineer, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I still have passed the test. But anyway, I'm just curious, and by the way, I take it seriously when I do the oath to defend the Constitution.
Okay.
But what would you recommend trying to not get the swine flu vaccination if you're going into the military?
I realize, you know,
they're...
What? You got an iPhone? Probably don't have
an iPhone.
Yeah.
No, one? I do not.
You got any phone that has video capabilities?
Yes.
All right, here's what I would do. First thing I would do is I'd go online, I'd rip the YouTube 1979 60 Minutes where they talk about Gilliam's Baird. Okay, rip it to your phone, bring it in with you when you're going to talk to your commander, your general. Long before you're supposed to be scheduled to take the shot. Go to your superiors with this information, okay?
Okay.
Number two, print out this latest Washington Post article where they admit about Gilliam's Baird, and they actually admit these trials, you know, are causing a bunch of harm to people. You know, walk in with this information and say, hey, they're not testing this. This gave a lot of people not only death, but no more use of their limbs. Why am I taking this shot when they admit it's the sniffles? Okay, I mean, the only way I know how to combat this stuff is with information. And most people, if you just go in there with articles, it's not going to be, it doesn't have the impact. You know, they watched that clip from 60 Minutes where George Wallace is interviewing a woman who lost the use of her arms and legs and has to have braces on her legs after months of recovery and still stutters and stammers. That makes an impact. That's huge. That's the way that you might be able to get your commanding officer to say, you know what, you don't have to show up, and I'm not taking it either. And that's how we spread information. I thank you for the call, Travis, and the best of luck, my friend. You know, he's out of Illinois, so I'm going to read the local Illinois article on the swine flu. That's right. We've got local articles around the country saying the same exact thing from the past week. We're running drills in the schools. We're giving your kids the shot, and we're bringing the parents in on buses, baby. That's how this is rolling. We're on alert, said Ellen Wolf, health supervisor with Naperville School District 203. It's so much of an unknown right now. In Barrington, school nurses will continue to work with classroom teachers to reinforce lessons about hand washing and covering coughs. See, they're going to get you obsessed with sanitizing your hands and the little kids marching in. And remember, they're teaching the teachers how to spot kids with the swine flu so they can be taken away for quarantine.
Yeah, this is the new tyranny. It's all about the cover story for the federal takeover.
Yes, and it admits right here again, school-age children are expected to be among those given first access to the vaccinations. The elderly are last, this time pregnant women and children first. Why? Because in actuality, they're going to have the least amount of immunity to the actual shot, not the swine flu. You're not going to be seeing kids breaking out with the swine flu until they roll their sleeves up. Once they roll their sleeves up, they're going to say, oh my God, we didn't get it in time. Look how many people have the swine flu. And what's going to happen is the kids that don't have that immunity are going to get the swine flu through the shot, and then they will get others sick. And that's why they're talking about three separate waves of this swine flu. That's the reality. Dave in California. Dave, you're on the line.
Hi, yes, Alex. Dave. Man, it's hard to keep up with you guys just being on hold.
What can I do for you, sir?
I got a chance to talk to Jane Burgermeister yesterday, and I'd like to see if you guys could possibly get her on. She's suing the World Health Organization, the UN, the CDC, Baxter, and a bunch of people for developing this stuff and for disseminating it.
You know, I've seen her, and I thank you for the call. I've seen her little petition, and I get it sent to my Facebook. I got to be honest with you. I don't think it's going anywhere. Okay, let's just get this right out in the open. I don't think it's going anywhere. You can sit there and, you know, create these lawsuits, and they're good for retrospect. But then when people call them out on their non-effectiveness, okay, that's not going to be anywhere near as effective of you talking to your community, going to a city council meeting and warning them that they can't go along with this program, or going to your board meeting at your school and saying, I don't want this place to become a mass vaccination center, and I don't want drills with the National Guard going on here while my child's going to school here. That's what's effective, okay? Not starting this kind of pseudo campaign where if people don't work with you, they're immediately called agents or provocateurs or dishonest. I mean, that stuff doesn't work. You know, I noticed, you know, when this got put out, if you're not covering it, you're a bad guy. I just don't think it's going anywhere, sir. This Jane Burgermeister thing, it's an illusion, okay? No one's going to jail because she put some stuff on paper and says she has a lawsuit. It's not going to stop a damn thing. Look, they're going through with this. This is going to be seen to fruition. Are you going to prepare individually? Are you going to warn your friends, your family members? Are you going to stand up to it when it comes to town? Not write on a little piece of paper that this is bad and they need to go to jail and nothing comes of it. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, back with your calls on all subjects. 888-201-2244, prisonplan.tv, infowars.com.
Gave the orders, no one asks about the crime, no one looks behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end.
All right, we're going to go to calls. 888-201-2244. Now on all topics, I won't let you go if you got another topic to talk about. But come on, when we're talking swine flu and it's this serious and it really is the top story and it should be what we're concerned about. I mean, this health bill, yeah, that's big news. We'll probably get into some of that later. We're going to read this Larry Flint Common Sense 2009 article. Yes, that's big story. But this infrastructure has been built. The drills are taking place. The conferences are already over with. The National Guard is coming. International law is here. Compulsory vaccinations, you bet. And it's just tragic. I mean, I'm looking at this Fox 19 local out of Texas. They're saying the same thing. The antiviral drugs Tamiflu and Relenza are also available to help people who come down with influenza, but according to a recent study, they may not prevent complications from the swine flu. We're just getting ready right now because school-aged children are the primary target of this thing. Lee in Minnesota. Lee, you're on the air.
Hello, Jason. Great to be on the air with you, and I was happened to be doing a research paper on vaccines when the Baxter story broke, and I used a lot of Mayor Eisenstein's references from the book "Don't Vaccinate Before You excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. Don't vaccinate before you educate. So I am really, really, really fired up, and thank you for everything you do. I have all kinds of T-shirts. I was down at the DFL rally for the Obama Democrat fascist. I was down there with the Tea Party protesting them, and with my T-shirt on, and I am fired up about this.
Well, this
and
is something to be fired up about. What do you think about the fact that they're just kind of lulling the public not only into this, but now they're admitting, oh, by the way, we're going to use thimerosal, which has mercury in it, as the main preservative. And now they're saying we might take it out for some of the pregnant women and children. But you know that 99.9% of the vaccinations are going to contain this, and they're not going to care if it's a pregnant woman or a child lining up to roll up their sleeves, are they?
That's right, and I'm a healthcare provider. I am now a sick care provider, healthcare provider, whatever you want to call it. And I'm also a Gulf War veteran, and I'm halfway done with Gary Matsumoto's book, Vaccine A. I also recommend that Navy person to get that book and bring that into his commander as well. Gary Matsumoto, Vaccine A, talking about squalene. I'm wondering if you know. Do you know how many? By the way, last night I have InfoWars posters flyered everywhere all through St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Last night, put them up all over the city here last night. I was just so fired up with these.
Way to go, my man.
Talking about trying to push this healthcare crap.
So what was that question you were just about to ask me?
I'm sorry. I was so fired up.
That's all right, man. Hey, we need more people fired up. We need people putting the Obama posters out. We need people learning, educating about these vaccinations, then telling others on both the left and the right, which is what you've done by going to these tea parties and these Obamanoids. We love Obama, these people that just can't get past that paradigm and letting them know the truth. You remember the question?
No, I don't. I'm
all right,
sorry.
Lee, I got... Hey, Lee, keep it up. I got to bounce. We're going to go to Scott, Roger, Mike, and Kate on the other side in the big segment. McDowell schools prepare for swine flu. We are now classified in phase 6 worldwide pandemic by the World Health Organization. Phase 6 means widespread human infection, which we don't have. We don't have widespread human infection, but they sure did go to level 6. I wonder why. I wonder if it's because they didn't want us to have any individual human rights. I wonder if it's because they want to quarantine people. I wonder if it's because they want the power and the money. Could it be? Could this be a eugenics program? Sure looks like one to me. We're treating this like a tornado drill, he added. If and when it strikes, we'll have a routine in place. We're planning for the most drastic worst-case scenario, so we'll be prepared. So they're getting ready for it, folks. They are ready for the worst-case scenario. Yet another school district, yet another local story holding the drills. You think they're going to make the schools mass vaccination centers? Gee, I don't know. They're only telling you they're going to do it. They're only drilling they're going to do it. They're only preparing your kids for it. They've only said they're going to have 4.9 billion with a B vaccines worldwide and 159 million here. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes. We'll be back after this. InfoWars.com, streaming live over at PrismPlanet.tv.
It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come
and take you away. But I'm hoping that you won't go with him, that you refuse, that you say, no, this quarantine thing for the piggy flu, not happening, not doing it, not going. Sorry, Buster Brown. Put away that baton. Just a couple more of these local articles, because I didn't even get through all. I told you, this is a national, it's really an international program, but it's going on all over our great land, our once just awesome country. I mean, we were it. We were the cat's pajamas, folks. What happened? What's that? Who's just laughing at me? He's like, I can't believe you just used the cat's pajamas, man. That's over with. That ended in the 80s. Did you really just use that terminology?
I thought it was the cat's meow.
I think it's the cat's pajamas and the cat's meow, my friend. Anyway, hospitals throughout New Jersey have spent this week practicing in case swine flu returns with a vengeance in the hall. One Burlington County facility held an emergency drill. 40 employees at Virtua Memorial in Mount Holly lined up with scripts in hand. See, it's a script. It's a script. This is an international script. They're letting everybody know how it's going to go down before it does, so they can prep you for the quarantines, for the mass vaccinations, for the end of America. Okay, Scott in Washington. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jason, there's a couple of things, but what I wanted to ask you, what, if anything, do you know about the Kaiser Foundation?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with my good friend Max Kaiser, does it?
No.
Okay,
but
good.
The reason that I was asking that question, because I was debating one of these fools on their online progressive shows about the health care bill, and she's one of these activists. And so anyway, she suggested that I go to the Kaiser Foundation website, which, you know, they're supposedly, quote-unquote, a healthcare advocacy thing, but they're really a government HMO-type company.
Okay.
And one of the things that I was debating her about was the fact that they had planned on cutting over $600 billion out of Medicare. So anyway, you go to their foundation thing, plus I found out some other stuff about them being linked for for-profit HMOs like Kaiser, Permanente, and stuff. But anyway, you go to their site, and they talk about H.R. 3200 in specific. Now, you remember the talking point that there were all these different bills that were out there. Well, this is the one that they talk about in specific. And they talk about the fact that they wanted to increase the Medicaid rolls for people who were eligible for Medicaid to go on there. But, of course, you know, now if you read in the bill, I think it's page 102 that says that anyone who was eligible for Medicaid was automatically going to be dumped on to this so-called public option, whether they wanted to or not. But the big hypocrisy now is in their own talking points memo. Now, they've got at least two of them out there. One is a five-page. One is a 10-page one. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two hypocrisies in the five-page one. The first paragraph of the five-page one says that in the first year, they plan on cutting at least 20% of Medicare payments to doctors and then subsequent amounts over the next year. And then when you go down further in this talking page memo, remember how they were saying that people, businesses under with payrolls of $250,000 annually or less would be exempted from the tax?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go right down in the same paragraph, it talks about so-called tax credit, a 50% tax credit, you know, if you're a business who has 10 employees with an average of at least $20,000 or less per person for salary. Now, excuse me, now, if you got a tax credit, now that implies that there's a liability to begin with in the first mm-hmm. place. You can't have a tax credit unless you're offsetting a liability. So there in itself, in their own talking points memo, is the whole hypocrisy right there.
Well, you know what? They use so much of this doublethink and this doublespeak, and just watching some of these town hall meetings this week, and I thank you for the call, Scott. I have to watch President Barack Obama just tell everybody, look, these death panels aren't real. When the media reports on these things, they say, oh, you know, that the president is defending and the administration is defending. They never say that the death panels are false. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to be passed by the Senate if it gets through, because again, the House bill is always different from the Senate bills, and I'm pretty sure right now there are three separate bills. But what captivated me the most is while he's sitting there lying to people, he steps up and he says, look, there are people on the right that are just going to vote against this bill because they're partisan, which is correct. There are people that just, it's exactly right. I mean, they went to these tea parties, for instance, because Barack Obama's bad because he's a Democrat. Okay, they have no idea. They hear the term socialist and they just jump on the bandwagon. They don't know how bad it really is or what the modus operandi are, okay? But then he says, now, there are those people who are for small government. He goes, these people criticize the Bush administration. They criticized my administration. These people have a real legitimate gripe. He actually said that. They have a legitimate gripe. He goes, they are under the belief that government should be small, it should stay out of personal lives, and that basically we should just stay out of their business. He's like, I just happen to disagree with those people. And he moved on. See, he knows how to control an audience so well. And yes, he's very good at reading off a teleprompter, but he's also very good at relating to people and sounding intelligent while he does so. And that is definitely a major advantage over our last president. I hate to admit it, but it's true. Roger in Maine. Roger, you're on the air.
Hello, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Roger in Maine. It's so great to talk to you. And if Alex is listening, I just wanted to let you folks know I listen to you on a daily basis. I drive a bus to and from Boston, Mass. Every day. Listen to your iPod. And just wanted to share with folks, don't give up on family members that aren't on board with the New World Order and everything that you and Alex talk about. My son woke me up to you folks in the New World Order probably a couple years ago.
Excellent.
He runs a site called theAtlanteanConspiracy.com. I don't know if I can put a plug in for him, but
sure.
If I could share one little thing on his behalf, I was such a hard nut to crack as a family member. So don't give up on family members, those of you that say family is the hardest to talk to. My son shared with me loose change, or tried to, and I didn't talk to him probably for 2 months because I couldn't believe that if it wasn't on the mainstream media, it must not be true.
Mm-hmm.
I was such a diehard, 24/7, hardcore junkie on news.
Mm-hmm.
It took my wife, and God bless my wife, after probably 2 months of me not talking to my son, my wife, in tears, was saying, he's only your son. He's not trying to tell you to believe in this stuff. He just wants to share with you what he's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And between my wife and my son, he woke me up, and I am all over the place telling people, anyone that will give me an ear on the bus, because I have a captive audience, I share. So I just wanted to give a little...
Well, let me say this. You know, I used to ride my bus, the bus to work, and I mean, I take an hour trip every day from Oneonta to Cooperstown, and a lot of those people on that bus were my captive audience. You know, they would start small talk with me, and I would say this, and I remember one of the firefighters was just mad at me for even bringing it up, man. He used to get off at the fire station every year. You know, I'm a bad person, but the actual bus driver, who was a World War II veteran, you know, I gave him a copy of Loose Change. And I gave it to him over the weekend. I gave it to him on a Friday, and I came back on Monday, and I kind of let the bus die out, and I started talking to him. I said, so did you watch that film? And he's like, oh, I watched it. He's like, I've definitely got my questions now, and, you know, I've talked to some of my other military and intelligence buddies who were back in the CIA and the FBI in the 60s and 70s, and they always told me, you wouldn't believe what we're, you know, really involved in behind the scenes. And he said, after seeing this, well, I can believe it. And I got to ask you, was Loose Change, did you eventually watch the film? Is that what initially woke you up?
The thing that actually woke me up is Loose Change, and then I've seen almost everything that you and Alex have put out in it. Fantastic.
Well, Roger, keep it up, my man.
And
just keep it up.
On the bus, what I do is talk to people in the front seat purposely because I do have a captive audience where I could get on the microphone, but I'd lose my job if I did that.
I hear you. Hey, every small step counts, and I thank you so much for calling in and letting people know that your son can reach you and that not to give up on family members, because I had that same thing. You know, a lot of my friends who I do consider family, it took years and years and years for them to even look at my material, and sometimes they still don't even look at it. Let me give you a case in point, and we'll go to Mike in Illinois in just a moment. My friend Jay. He's a high-level Mason. I went to school with him. We pledged together in college. And, you know, he's of the libertarian mindset. He listens to Michael Savage. It took him forever to watch the original Loose Change, the second edition, and then the final cut. When he did, his ground was shook. You know, I had showed him some things individually on an alumni weekend a couple years before that. He immediately told me, never show me this stuff again. I don't ever want to see this. I don't even want to talk about it. His face was beet red. It looked like he physically wanted to assault me. This is a big guy. You know, he's 6'4", over 300 pounds, probably crushed my little head. You know what I mean? I'd not want to fight the guy, and I love him to death. So just last week, I sent him a little package with Fabled Enemies included, and I'm hoping he watches that because I think that will, you know, it will take him from the level of, yes, there's some problems with 9/11, I'm not there on an inside job yet, to, oh my God, this is an international intelligence operation that spans many countries and many agencies, and this is really, you know, a worldwide globalist attack, and that's what this is about, and I'm hoping that's what he's going to get out of it. I could call him later this week and see if he popped that DVD in. But I never give up, you know. I know I've reached him on some level. You know, I was at his house while I was in Philadelphia with some of my other fraternity brothers and just getting laughed at. I mean, I'm getting laughed at in my face when I'm telling them that their pensions aren't safe. I'm getting laughed at when I tell them that Pakistan and Israel both had roles in 9/11. And I'm like, hey, man, the proof is in the pudding. Go check out my work. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the line. Yes, sir, Mike.
You hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Remind me to ask you a question when I'll make a point. But the last caller and what you were just saying about your family and friends, that's sort of what I was going to say about my mom, you know, because I've been, you know, just telling her and my sister, and my sister's a nurse, by the way. But, you know, I mean, I bring up the thimerosal, you know, that they use to, you know, that they put inside of there to actually preservative, right, you know. And I had another call on that other line, but of course you don't know what is inside of these things, you know, but I'm just going to keep trying. When I talk to her, I just want to make it like this is just information that I know about, and it doesn't, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, that's what you should do, but I don't know. It's just hard to talk to people sometimes, but you would think, in this time of the internet that, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't even be able to listen to your show. I mean, I thank God. Or even go to the website for that matter, but I used to like to listen to Coast to Coast a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. if I could pick it up, you know, with a good radio, but with the advent of the internet, I mean, I'm just surprised more people just don't look into, you know, some.
Well, you know
some
what it is?
Things.
It's a slow process, and it's not like this information is readily available. You know, I think that 9/11 Truth exploded around the 5th anniversary because Loose Change did. You know, because you couldn't you could type in just 9/11, or, you know, not even 9/11 conspiracy, or the term Loose Change that might have nothing to do with it, and all of a sudden this was the top thing that came up on the searches, top 10 or 20, and you couldn't avoid it. So the internet is obviously a powerful tool, but if you don't know to go to Infowars.com, if you don't know to go to PrisonPlanet.tv, if you don't know to go to 9/11 Blogger, it's tough to get there. And when I was introduced to Infowars, this is way back in 2002 when I first saw Road to Tyranny, I was like, you know, maybe like 40% of this stuff is true. I didn't even want to touch it. You know, I'd read an article, it'd be too scary for me. I couldn't go to the source articles. I would just back off. This is when I was really just studying 9/11. I didn't want to get into the vaccine issue. I didn't want to get into the issue of global government. I didn't want to get into the issue of mind control, because all that stuff was too scary. And eventually, step by step by step by step, I started learning about this stuff, trying to disprove it and not being able to. So my advice to people out there that are just kind of coming across this stuff is, number one, educate yourself. Number two, when you're talking to other people about it, be confident. Videos always work better than articles. That's why I challenge people with an iPhone or a good video phone to capture some of this stuff and put it on your phone, because it's so easy now. Like, that's what I would do on the bus, you know, even back in the day. I didn't have that. All I had was my laptop. It's harder to get somebody to take your laptop and watch this thing and put some earphones on. You hand somebody an iPhone, and they're looking at this thing, and they're saying, wow, this is George Wallace from 60 Minutes, or, oh my God, why is the BBC reporting that Building 7 went down an hour before it did, and what is this about people being microchipped in 2004 in Mexico? It opens some eyes. So videos, and that's why I do movies, man, because people don't read anymore. The new international language to reach the world are videos, okay? We are the MTV generation. Videos work the best. The more technologically savvy you are and the more educated you are, the more people are going to open up their ears and take up arms as activists. I thank you for the call.
Awesome. One more question.
Sure, go for it.
One more question. Okay, I waited for a while because I know you're hitting hard on the vaccines and stuff.
Yes, I am.
Exactly. The NSA, I'm going to research this myself, but mm-hmm. can they monitor VoIP? I mean, because it's digital, it's zeros, it's ones, it's IP, you know, but, and then,
well, you're talking about voice over IP, in other words, IP phones that most people have now in their triple pack, their cable, internet package, and phone package. Can they track that?
Right.
Yes. Yes. Listen, it's a simple answer. Yes. What they do in these major telecommunication companies is that they have rooms, okay? And they have splitters for these rooms. And these rooms take in every piece of information you do through your internet, okay? So if you are on a phone on your internet, which is what these voice over IP phones are, yes, your conversation is absolutely recorded. Now, does a person listen to that? No. A person 99% of the time is not going to listen to that. That will go through a promise or a carnivore type system software, and they will look for keywords and phrases. Now, everything you do on the internet is also track, trace, and database. In other words, whatever website you go to, whatever chat programs you are, whatever IMs you make, whatever emails you have, also goes into this database. Now, on top of that, if you have a cell phone and your provider is AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, the same thing goes on with your cell phone, okay? Just look up the case, Hepting versus AT&T. Over 40 people blew the whistle, Mark Klein among them, and they said, no, the president has retroactive immunity, this is national security, they don't have to do anything. They threw it out of court. It went to appeals court. In early June of 2009, they ruled in favor of retroactive immunity, and they ruled in favor of the NSA, and they threw it out once again. Portions of that are going to be in Invisible Empire. Remember, folks, the trailer, if it's not up late tomorrow or late tonight, it will be launched tomorrow on the Alex Jones Show. I'm going to write up a little blurb. It'll be over at Infowars.com. But yes, sir, absolutely, absolutely, they can tape your IP conversations over the phone. I thank you for the call. All right. And on the other side, we're going to go to Kate, Steve, Brian, Jim, and others. I am going to read this Common Sense 2009 article. I'm also going to try to cover this other news that I have in my stack. But I'm going to leave you with yet another local swine flu story. What do you know? St. Francis University prepares for swine flu. As the class of 2013 enters the campus of St. Francis University, officials are also preparing for flu season, especially the swine flu. In turn, the staff and students will distribute the medicines to residents around Cambria County. You see, they're getting everybody involved. Come on down to the schools. Get the vaccinations. The kids are being prepared. The teachers are being prepared. The local government's being prepared. The federales are here. The internationalists love it. It's all over the place. The same script everywhere. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlan.tv, Infowars.com.
I've been drifting along in the same stale shoes.
We are back, folks, and it just wouldn't be a proper Info Warrior show if I didn't just keep harping on this swine flu. Here's yet another local news article. I believe the last one was out of Oregon. Here's one out of Arizona. Same script, same actions. For the next 2 days, city, county, and school district personnel are among those attending a pandemic influenza planning and preparedness event in Mesa, being taught by the Office of Domestic Preparedness under the Federal Emergency Management Agency, our Lord and God's FEMA, here to help one more time. Remember, these FEMA centers will be the schools. They will be the churches. They will be buildings that they make into makeshift mass vaccination centers for you, the dumbed down public, your family, your friends, your loved ones, okay? 25% of the population in Maricopa County. That's a million people that they're planning on protecting with this vaccination. Oh, thank you so much. The program includes a day-long mock emergency drill. The role-playing scenario, which will include the creation of a fake city, county, and state, is designed to give officials the experience to deal with an outbreak. The program includes instruction on the types of influenza and the historical context of the other pandemics. Oh, other than telling you that the actual shot gave people, you know, the inability to use their limbs due to Guillain-Barre. Oh, and it killed a bunch of people too. We're not going to give you that historical precedent. We're just going to say that people need to take this or bad things are going to happen. Sometimes we hear late September. Sometimes we hear early October. One way or another, we're taking the shot. All right, let's go to Kate in California. Kate, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason.
How are you?
Hello.
Yes, you're
on. Hi. I couldn't have not called in when I heard that guy who called in that he was going to join the military soon, Navy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And he was looking for a way to maybe avoid the vaccine, the flu, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's my duty as a veteran to maybe warn him. I hope he's listening and make him think twice about joining. Because from my experience, I was in the military for 8 years with exemplary record, and if he thinks that reasoning or pleading or showing those people any articles or videos is going to work, it's not, because none of those guys, even if they maybe agree with you, are not going to take responsibility for you not taking the vaccine. So
you're telling me that none of these people within the military are going to have the spine to actually stand up to the establishment, no matter how much knowledge is in their brain?
That's exactly what I'm saying. What happened to me was after about 4 months of intimidation and threats and coercion, finally I did get an honorable discharge, but that's only because I stood up for myself and I fought and I was going to go all the way.
And what grounds were you trying to get out of the military?
I was not trying to get out of the military. They filed paperwork to discharge me because I refused the vaccines. And I was backed up by a famous brain surgeon who was going to testify in my case, and another veteran, an mm-hmm. activist, and they refused to hear them, okay? So mm-hmm. if you think a video or an article is going to work,
I mean, you brought in a veteran expert, a medical doctor, someone who
yes,
was in
I
neuroscience,
did.
And they would not
I
even
did.
Hear that person. But
exactly.
eventually, let me say this. You did fight, and you did get out of the military. It might not have been the solution that you were looking for, but at least you didn't take the shot. At least you stood up for your human rights. Folks, this
isn't
even... I
did, but most of the people wouldn't. Most
That's
people
right.
would just capitulate to those people.
That's
and I
true.
Just want to warn that guy, because I really feel like I have to warn him. And he should really make an informed decision before he joins, no matter what his job or how exciting his job he thinks he's going to be.
All right, Kate, I thank you so much for the call.
It's not worth it.
You're right. Your life is not worth it. It's not worth it to basically just commit a soft suicide to say, it's okay if I only live to see 40, 50, or even 60. Folks, I'm trying to live to be 100, maybe 200. I'd love to see 200. It's the InfoWars with Jason Burmes. We'll be back after this. InfoWars.com and streaming live via video over at PrisonPlanet.com. Do is fight tyranny. You know, I'm still a young guy. I still got my britches about me. I still got the big mouth a-running. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to stand up for the little guy. Why? Because I am the little guy. I know a bunch of little guys. My friends, they're the little guy. Okay? We're not big ballin' all-stars, okay? I'm a poor kid coming up in this country, and all I wanted was my Bill of Rights and my Constitution and maybe a little opportunity. You know, an opportunity to live free, to live right, to do the good things, to love one another. And I don't see those opportunities in front of me anymore. I see a bunch of consumerist, just brainwashed zombies that can't wait to get to their iPhone or their DVR machine or their Xbox 360 or their PlayStation 3 or their football game. And yeah, that's all well and good. If that's a side project, that's something you just unwind with an hour or 2 hours a day, but it's your cultural obsessions. And that's why this invisible empire just has you by the cojones. That's why. Steve in Michigan. Steve, you're on the line.
Hi,
yes,
Jason.
Sir.
How are you doing this evening?
Good.
I've got a few things I'd like to cover. I hope I can get them all in.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to give me some suggestions of what I can give to people other than a movie. Also, which movie and what articles I can give to people to help try to convince them.
And, convince them of what?
Of anything and everything.
Anything and everything. All right, let's start off right here with some introductory pieces. How do I get somebody just to look at this information? Well, you know, one of the reasons I made Fabled Enemies, you can get it over at InfoWars.com. You can go to YouTube, watch the whole thing for free, is because I wanted a movie that showed people that there were a ton of problems with 9/11 outside of controlled demolition, outside of what happened at the Pentagon, okay, outside of whether or not Flight 93 was shot down or even existed. So I made a movie really based in mainstream articles, mainstream video, and mainline interviews. People like Bo Dietl, Joe Biden is in that film, Let me see. Who else is in that film that's pretty mainline? Ray McGovern, 26-year CIA veteran. Michael J. Springman, the head of the visa department in Saudi Arabia. If somebody can sit through Fabled Enemies, it's an hour and 42 minutes, and not see that there is a huge problem with 9/11, and then send people tumbling down that rabbit hole into other information, I don't know what to tell you. As far as just some mainstream articles that can, you know, knock people out of the 9/11 trance, I think the ones in USA Today where they admitted that they were running drills of ramming hijacked planes into buildings is a good document or article. I think the Amalgam Virgo PDF with Bin Laden on the cover, and later on they're ramming a plane into the Capitol building 2 months before 9/11. I think that's a great hard article, and I really think once you get them into 9/11, that you can bring them into other aspects. You can show them the OKC bombing. You can show them that what went wrong with Waco. You know, you want to start them with something like Waco that even predates 9/11. You have them watch Wake Up or Waco, okay?
Yeah.
Wake Up or Waco is Alex Jones's film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Alex Jones's film. I would actually go with Rules of Engagement. That was up for a Best Picture Award for documentary filmmaking back in the 90s. An incredible picture. When you watch that, your jaw is on the floor. So you start them off with something small. Then you get them into something more hardcore like an Obama deception or an Endgame. If you're looking for outside of movies, man, I'm a big advocate of you downloading YouTube clips and converting them to go on your phone. Yeah, it might take you a half an hour or an hour to figure out how to do this on a tutorial on the internet or what kind of resolution your phone takes. But when you've got somebody as a captive audience on a street corner in a bus, if you're carpooling with them, there is no better tool than to show them a mainline news story. You know, that 1979 60 Minutes piece, I woke my boy up outside of, I think he's in Pasadena, while I was out in California. His eyes were wide open. Stay on the line. I'll take more of your calls. Steve, we're going to come back to you. Brian, Jim, and others. It's the Info Warrior. All right, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burma, 6 to 9 Central, only at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv Sundays. You can check out the podcast over at TheInfoWarrior.com. You can get at me over at MySpace.com/JasonBurmis or Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. Let's go back to Steve in Michigan. Steve, you had some other points you want to make?
Yes, I did. I was wondering, aren't there any reporters over there in Washington that are able to ask him the hard questions about these issues? I mean,
ask who the question? Obama and his administration?
Yes, ask his administration, ask his
Yeah, they could. They could ask a hard question any day of the week, but then they're not going to be part of the press corps. Because then they're not part of the press corps. All right, let me explain how this works, okay? All these inline reporters have a place at the table or at the press room where Robert Gibbs is or where Obama speaks or on the campaign trail, for instance. They're allowed to go on the plane with these people. But the minute they start asking questions that are no longer establishment approved, they don't get a press pass. They're not allowed to cover it. That's why they don't actually do that. Number two, the major, I mean, I believe, I can't remember, his name is maybe Henry Lucas. I'm not sure, but he's a Skull and Bones guy. He was the head of Time magazine. He had Hitler on the cover as the man of the year twice. These guys in the media are part of these secret societies. Case in point, when I did my Bohemian Grove special, okay? One of these political cartoonists in the Bohemian Grove Annal that's only distributed to members once every 10 years. And you know what? I'm going to go back here, folks, and I'm going to grab the Annal, and I'm going to see if I can find the thing that I actually showed people in the Bohemian Grove special. And what he's doing is he's drawing a cartoon about how he's a newsman, okay? And he's got his little news cap on, and he's got a pen and a piece of paper, and he's reporting on the hardcore stories, right? Well, actually, when you look at the picture, it draws a thought bubble around him, and in actuality, he's not reporting the hardcore things. He's enjoying himself with a candle and in a robe as a member of the Bohemian Club. You see their allegiance, and this is why David Rockefeller thanked the media. I'm not sure if it was in his memoirs or it might have actually been at a Bilderberg meeting, for keeping certain things from the public view. So you can only go so far in the mainstream media, and then you have to pull back. I mean, Walter Cronkite is a Bohemian Grove Club member. He's a CFR guy. You look at Tim Russert. he was CFR. You look at Brokaw, CFR. Even Rather, who I think does some pretty damn good work sometimes. You know, Dan Rather, for a mainline reporter, has really done some good stuff over the years. I'm not saying he's not somewhat controlled or somewhat biased and whatnot, but he's done some pretty good stuff. Hey, he's in with these guys too. So they're essentially part of the same club. Continue.
They all just pat each other on the back.
Okay. They really do. I mean, you know, I look at let's see, I'm still going through this annal, but I see so many familiar faces. I see somebody who's supposed to be like anti-establishment, a little bit like Willie Brown. Willie Brown, of course, was the San Francisco mayor. He's not anti-establishment. Here, if we zoom in right there, there is Walter Cronkite at the orchestra concert. You know, who else is right there? Well, it's Richard Nixon, Art Linkletter, let's see, Gerald Ford, all these bigwigs, and then we have news reporters there. What is going on? Why are the news reporters embedded, let me repeat that, embedded with these people? And then when you have consolidation of power by people like Rupert Murdoch, who now owns the Wall Street Journal, for God's sakes. I mean, he owns News Corp, which owns Sky News in the UK, owns Fox News here, owns all of Fox. When you have these consolidations of power, you get less and less open information. Let me give you another case in point. Right now, GE, which is NBC, CBS and ABC are all working on merging with Hearst Publications into this super news conglomerate, and it's not being reported on. I had one Reuters article maybe 2 or 3 months ago that I covered, and I haven't heard anything about it whatsoever. So as you consolidate the power of information into fewer and fewer hands, the public gets less truth. What else you got for me, Steve?
I just had a question. Am I going to be on that no-fly list now?
I sure hope not, but Steve, as I let you go, I hope you're watching PrisonPlanet.tv. Thank you so much for the call, but let's zoom in. Here it is right here. Here's that little cartoon I was talking about. Here's the cartoonist. He's obviously doing himself as a news reporter. He's got the newsy cap on. He's got the little piece of paper. His name's Farley, apparently, but what's he thinking about? He's thinking about his induction ritual into the Bohemian Grove Club. That's what's really on his mind. Brian in California. Brian, you're on the line.
Thanks, Jason. I have an idea for the last caller, Lexicon Document, Rex 84, and Presidential Memorandum 200.
Hey, I got a question for you, buddy. I was looking for the Rex 84 document this week. I was unable to find it. Do you have the PDF file of the document, not just people writing about it?
Yes, I do have it, actually. Brian, I really need you to listen.
Send me the link at my Facebook page, facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior, or my MySpace page, myspace.com/JasonBermis. If you could do that, I would be eternally grateful. You got one of those?
Okay. If I can't do it tonight, I will do it in the morning. But I got two ideas, a T-shirt idea and a flyer idea. I'm putting up Big Brother. It's actually like a picture of Big Brother looking over the crowd with like the insock on the sides, light poles pointing to the cameras, like up on the street lights, saying Big Brother. And then I have a T-shirt idea, like sticking with the Second Amendment, and when push comes to shove with the flu shots, try to shoot me up and I'll shoot you up.
Well, that would be considered by some as an extremist viewpoint, but I'm with you 110%, and I think those are great. So you can submit those over to articles@infowars.com and writers@infowars.com. We'll check out those flyer ideas and we may post them. I thank you so much, Brian. Please don't forget, I've been looking for that Rex 84 PDF of the actual document. I've been unable to find it. If you've got it, myspace.com/TheInfoWarrior. myspace.com/JasonBermis, facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. Please send that out. We've been looking for it. We're putting together a small concentration camp film, and Rob Dew really needs that to put the emphasis and oomph on this continuity of government FEMA program to enslave us. It's not just the civilian inmate labor program document. There are many programs that talk about how we don't have any individual human freedoms whatsoever and that the government is God. Let's go to Jim in Texas. Jim, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Let me start with a disclaimer here. I'm a non-commissioned officer in the United States military, so some of my views may not reflect that of the Department of Defense. And I'm going to try to stay within the bounds they set for me. But one of your callers earlier mentioned he was joining the Navy, and he wanted to get out of the swine flu shot, right?
Yes.
Well, I can tell him that there is absolutely about 99.9% no chance of that unless he receives a medical exemption from a military medical officer who will be doing the initial screening at boot camp. Now, I have the Army regulation. It's Army Regulation 40-562. I don't know what the Navy has because I haven't done any research as far as that, but that's the that Army regulation I just stated is the immunization. And if you look at page 4, paragraph 26, it explains all of the exemptions for the shot or for any vaccinations, period.
But you pretty much think that he's up Poopy Creek without a paddle is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to convey, Jason. He's going to be forced to get it, and there's another website. It's called, well, it's MilVax, and it's the Military Vaccination Agency. Mm-hmm. And you can actually go on there and look at all the different components of these shots. And, you know, I've been getting pumped full of them for years, and, well, I don't show any signs of any ill effects, but then again, I've met people that have. So,
and you sound like a younger guy. You know, you might not see these down the line until you're 45, 55, 65.
Right.
And even if you are immune to these, you know, and even if your body, listen, I'm going to say this to many people. Your body has a unbelievable amount of healing power within itself. You can heal if you eat right, if you exercise, you would be astounded at the quality of life that you can actually live. That's why the pharmaceutical industry always puts out these commercials. Are you depressed? Are you not sleeping enough? Are you not eating enough? Are you eating too much? I mean, just about every single thing you do, they have a pill for it. They never tell you, hey, why don't you try to get some sunlight, jog for 60 minutes a day, and maybe hit the weights. It'll actually make you happier,
right.
Your self-esteem will go up, and your immune system will be boosted. So I want to tell people, even if you have taken a lot of shots, that doesn't mean it's the end-all, be-all, that you're automatically going to die, or you're going to get cancer in 20 years. You have the ability to fight this. Your mental prowess is a big thing in self-healing. So, you know, I'm not some kind of new-age guru trying to tell you how to live your life, but if you want to be happier, I'm going to tell you right now, hit the gym, you know, actually take an interest in your physical appearance and then your mental, I mean, everything, it's mind, body, and soul for a reason, okay? Everything
right.
Interconnects. And I wouldn't pump myself full of vaccines, but I had to take a booster shot to go to college. I didn't know about this stuff until, you know, my mid to late 20s. I had obviously taken every shot they gave me. I'm hoping that I can, you know, ward that off, that I'm not going to get cancer from this stuff, that I'm not going to have mercury poisoning, that my IQ didn't drop. I can't guarantee that didn't happen, but I'm going to fight it every sense of the way. I thank you so much, Jim, for the call. On the other side, we're going to go to Van in Texas and others. The number is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. And I think that we're actually at the last article. It's by far the last article that's out there. But the last local news article that I actually got to print in about the hour and a half that I had to prepare for the show today, presentation to focus on flu risk. H1N1 strain expected to hit hard again this fall, although the virus seems to have hit a lull. Officials said outbreaks are occurring in the southern hemisphere where it's currently flu season and are expected to crop up here in the fall. It's not that we're wondering when the virus will show up. Marshall says it's here. It's here. High-risk groups, including pregnant women, healthcare workers, and children, will be treated first. Your kids and pregnant women are going to take the shot full of mercury and hell first. First. Silverton Hospital has held a couple of mass vaccination drills in the last couple of years. As soon as they get the vaccination out, we'll bring the mass vaccination program in here and start vaccinating the priority groups. And the children are the priority. Your calls after this. It's the Info Warrior. We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, a little CCR on the radio. Man, I love this. I'd like to get some Fogerty in my life before he goes. That's a band I haven't seen that I really would love to see. I know CCR is no longer together and the brother's dead, but I'm sure John Fogerty puts on a hell of a show. If anybody knows about any Fogerty in Texas, get at me on my websites. That'd be great. All right, I promise I go to your calls. 888-201-2244. Van in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I have a question, Jason. I was just wondering if you found it easier to make a living riding Dylan Avery's coattails or Alex Jones's?
Well, I just wonder what you do for a living, sir. I haven't rode anybody's coattails. I've been doing this long before I knew Dylan Avery or Alex Jones for free. And I would do it for free and continue to do so. I am my own individual human being, and I'm sorry that you feel that way.
You talk on your own show. That's a
really, because I think Alex came in twice, and I say whatever I want on my own show, and I let callers say whatever they'd like. You got a point, or
you listen to whatever.
So, what do you do for a living, sir? What do you do for a living? I want to know what you do that's so great.
I promote movies called The Alex Jones Deception.
All right, bye. See you later. I'm glad that you do that. That's great. So in other words, you do whatever you can to tear down other people's work because you're such an insignificant human being that nobody wants to listen to you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Gayton in Canada. Gayton, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, Jason. How's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, it's nice. I liked the speech of that guy before.
Whatever, man. You just got to run with what you can do.
That's cool, man. You know what? So I want to talk to you today about Canada's Homeland Security, all right?
Okay. What's that department called, by the way? It's not Homeland Security. It's something else, isn't it?
Say that again?
I said it's not called Homeland Security in Canada, is it? It's got a different department name?
Yes, yeah, somewhat, really. Well, I'm saying Homeland Security for everybody to know, really, whoever listens to the show, really. Mm-hmm. I come from a different background, I guess. I used to sell drugs and stuff, and I saw a really big evolution in Homeland Security in Canada, you know? And, mm-hmm. I've been approached by police officers, actually, and to work for them. And what they told me before, you know, it's to buy drugs from them, to steal it from people, and to call them. Okay.
So wait a minute. Are they trying to have you go after actual drug dealers, or are they going after marijuana? Because to me, that's a totally separate issue. What are they going after? Go ahead.
Actually, I'm gonna tell you something. All right, so it's, a bunch of friends of mine I was dealing drugs with before. You know, all turned in. You know, like they all actually took the deal from the cops. You know, they were actually the cops were offering a lot of money, like a career or something. The details, I'm not exactly sure because it's quite secret, you know. Nobody really wants to talk about it, you know. Like, but it's a major scale, man. You know, there's a bunch of people, you know, turned in and are working for the cops, really. And
I'm kind of not following here. Are you telling me that the cops are the ones dealing the drugs through surrogates? Or are you telling me that the cops are using these surrogates to make drug busts?
Actually, they're infiltrating the streets, man. You know, they're like putting people in the streets, you know, like on watch. You know, like drug dealers and criminal minds. You know, like people that are fast. You know, that can tell people from you know, like that are experienced with crime. Someone they just got like. More of a criminal mind, you know, like that can read body language and read criminals, you know what
I mean? Well, Gayton, I got to tell you, this doesn't seem like much something new. I mean, and I thank you for the call. This has been going on in the United States for years and years and years and years. I mean, obviously, they recruit criminals all the time to rat out other criminals. It's a criminal culture. They know that somebody, you know, who they catch with a half ounce of pot in a certain area that's going to do 6 months to a year and has never done any time is going to rat out their bigger dealer. Then they go to the big dealer and he doesn't have a quarter ounce of pot. He's got a quarter pound of pot. Oh, no, anything but that. But he's also got a little ecstasy, too. Uh-oh, he's got ecstasy pills. Well, then he's going to rat out his guy. And such until they actually get to the government drug dealers, and then they stop because they say, hey, that's where we make our black ops money. And then they get a couple of the higher level drug dealers who, you know, are really just mid-level criminals to serve in their privatized prison institutions to feed the system at 39 cents an hour to call you up so you can change your phone service from AT&T to Sprint. I mean, that's the reality, okay? Schwarzenegger's talking about releasing, I think, 40,000 prisoners or something like that in the California prison system. That really surprises me that they just don't build another one and move them there. I'm kind of shocked at that. I don't know if that's a PR move, if they really are becoming too crowded, what that's all about. If you got an opinion on that, I would love to hear it. We're going to continue to take your calls, 888-201-2244 on the other side, and I'm going to hit up this Common Sense 2009 article. It's The Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. You can hit me up over at facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior or myspace.com/JasonBurmis. Streaming live right now over at PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back. We're going to go to your calls. I'm going to read this Common Sense 2009 article, but I just want to touch on this. Look, I'm not going to apologize because I do the right thing for a living, because I do what I love, because I do what I've strived to do since I learned the truth in 2002. Why should I? I am very happy and pleased to be in the situation that I am. I love making films that millions of people see. And I mean, millions upon millions of people see, and it opens their mind and it turns them on to this information, because this information is real. What do I do here? I read mainstream articles. I pull up government documents. I show you clips of the authorities, the establishments, our lords, basically bragging about being criminal overlords. That's what I do. And I do try to convey a message. I try to convey a message of truth, of independence, of individual freedoms, of love. Those are the messages that I think are so important to get out there. All right. All right. Let's take two calls, and then I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to continue with your calls throughout the rest of the show. Let's go to Don in Costa Rica. Don, you're on the line.
Hola, Jason.
How are you?
¿Cómo estás?
Good, man. Good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to commend you for the job you're doing there. The way you handle some of the callers that come in, I mean, you never miss a beat.
Oh, thank you.
You just do a superb job.
Killer, man. I like to make this a caller program because, number one, I'm no genius, okay? I'm going to get things wrong. I'm a human being. I am imperfect, just like everybody else out there. As soon as somebody tells you that they have all the answers and they know just what to do and they're never wrong, well, that, to me, means they must have approached godhood. You know, I think that we do need a discussion. We do need an open debate. We do need other viewpoints. And that's why I love that this is a caller-based show. Yes, you know, I spent the first hour really ranting on the swine flu, but that's because it really needs to be talked about, because that is the real issue of today. All right, I'm going to stop ranting and let you make your point, Don.
Well, the point I'd like to make it, and what maybe you could help to do and probably accomplish, is redefine that word or that expression, mainstream media. I mean,
that
think it's
tough.
So misused.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think mainstream media right now is everything that encompasses, you know, anything from MTV to, you know, CNN headline news right now is mainstream media. In other words, everything from Fox News to MSNBC to what you see on regular NBC, ABC, the Cartoon Network even. I mean, that's anything you're getting in your basic cable package really is mainstream media. And this infotainment arm of the mainstream media are shows like Entertainment Tonight or The Insider, or now TMZ has their voice, and they're just feeding you just loads and loads of pop culture crap. Now, the mainstream media that I often talk about and I often cite are, you know, websites like The Washington Post, Reuters, Associated Press, Drudge Report, The Guardian, The Daily Telegraph. You know, those are the ones that I usually go to before the show. However, I would say even this article I'm about to read from Larry Flint off of the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post is such a big website, and most people know who Arianna Huffington is. That's not even really, you know, that's mainstream. You know, is it mainstream liberal? Maybe, if you believe in that false left-right paradigm, but it's still mainstream to me. To me, the only real alternative media out there are people like G. Edward Griffin, obviously InfoWars, Prison Planet. I would even say, you know, sites like GNN, which really, you know, I used to go to all the time because I couldn't handle the information and the truths that were on InfoWars. So I would go there where I had a softer liberal leftist perspective that, you know, back in 2002, I was more comfortable with, because that was more of the perspective that I was coming on. That's why I tell people, you know, it's a gradual process. You may not wake somebody up with one movie or one piece of information. It might take a months and months and months, but let's pique their interest. Let's start that up. So I think that, first of all, the mainstream media is extremely broad. And even us in the alternative media rely on the mainstream media so heavily that it could be said that really, you know, we're part of the mainstream right now. When Glenn Beck and his producers steal 80% of our material and then refuse to talk about the other 20%, I mean, how alternative are we?
Well, actually, that's what I'm getting at, is redefining what we call mainstream media. Because if you listen to Fox News, they're always talking about the mainstream media as if they're something different.
So exactly.
What I'm getting at is, let's give a whole new definition to mainstream media and take it to the truth.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the definition of mainstream media is at this point?
Well, there is no mainstream media. The what they call mainstream media is actually mainstream insanity.
Well, I think it's provocative propaganda for your mind. I mean, that's what it is. It does have an establishment message. It is trying to promote an agenda. And that agenda, unfortunately, is big government, less freedom, more tyranny. And it is just so pro-consumerism. Not only consumerism, but it really encourages people to be narcissists, obsessed with their own looks and personality to a level not only to walk amongst others, other lords who, have the cool hairstyle and drive the nice car, but almost to think within themselves that they're a better person when they go along with this mainline mentality. And it's really programming for a reason. I mean, I encourage people to go check out Edward Bernays and read his book, Propaganda, because that's what we're fed on so many levels through so many mediums, whether it be talk radio, regular radio, TV, the internet, motion pictures, all that stuff, DVDs, that is really just propaganda. I thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Arne in Montana. Arne, you're online.
Hello, Mr. Burmes.
Hello, sir.
I got two things. Last week they had a Cubs game at Wrigley Field there, and they had an air show.
Okay.
Now I didn't watch the game, but a couple other guys did. They said they were doing that air show. And then that one plane took off, and as he come back over the field, that's when he did the smoke thing. Just mm-hmm. as he came over the field, it started at one end, it stopped at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of curious. I don't have, somebody's got a TiVo or DVR or whatever, maybe might be interested in somebody.
All right, I'll definitely have somebody check that out. Arne, I thank you for the call. Let's read this article. I know you had a second thing. I got to let you go. I've got more callers. I've got to hit this up. This is the second to last segment of the InfoWar. Remember, if you missed any of it, you can pick up the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com. Common Sense 2009 from Larry Flint. Say what you will. Call him a horrible person. Call him a pornographer. Listen to me. He is a hero of free speech and the First Amendment. Okay, do I agree with everything he does, everything he puts out, everything he promotes? No, of course not. Some of the things that Hustler puts out there are dirty and vile, and even I can't. I'm like, a little too much for me, Larry. But this article, this is it. I couldn't have wrote a better article myself, and when I read this thing, I was floored. The American government, which we called our government, has been taken over by Wall Street, the mega corporations and the super rich. They are the ones who decide our fate. It is this group of powerful elites, the people President Franklin D. Roosevelt called economic royalists, who choose our elected officials. Indeed, our very form of government. Both Democrats and Republicans dance to the tune of their corporate masters. In America, corporations do not control the government. In America, corporations are the government. This is the technopoly, folks. This is the invisible empire. This was never more obvious than with the Wall Street bailout, whereby the very corporations that caused the collapse of our economy were rewarded with taxpayer dollars. So arrogant, so smug were they that without moments hesitation, they took our money, yours and mine, to pay their executives multi-million-dollar bonuses, something they continue doing to this very day. They have no shame. They don't care what you and I think about them. Henry Kissinger refers to us as useless eaters. Useless eaters. Just like Ted Turner does, baby. We've played the clip dozens of times on the Info Warrior. I'm not even going to bore you with it again. Look up Ted Turner, population control. He loves it. He loves it. Can't get enough. But you say we have an elected candidate of change, to which I respond, do these words of President Obama sound like a change? A culture of irresponsibility took root from Wall Street to Washington to Main Street. There it is, right there. We are Main Street. We must, according to our president, share the blame. He went on to say, and a regulatory regime basically crafted in the wake of the 20th century economic crisis, the Great Depression, was overwhelmed by the speed, scope, and sophistication of a 21st century global economy. You know what that is? It's Johnny Nonsense. He says it. It's nonsense. It is, Larry. You're dead on. Okay, sir? The reason Wall Street was able to game the system the way it did, knowing that they would become rich at the expense of the American people. Oh, yes, they most certainly knew this, was because the financial elite had bribed our legislators to roll back the protections enacted after the stock market crash of 1929. When they consolidated even more power, folks. Congress gutted the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated commercial lending banks from investment banks, and passed the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, which followed for self-regulation with no oversight. The Securities and Exchange Commission subsequently revised its rules to allow for even less oversight, and we've seen how well that all worked out. To date, no serious legislation has been offered by the Obama administration to correct these problems. Correct, Larry. You are correct. You win a prize. Ding! Ding! This is top-notch stuff. I'm not even halfway through this article. Instead, Obama wants to increase the oversight power of the Federal Reserve. Never mind that it already had significant oversight power before our most recent economic meltdown, yet failed to take action. Never mind that the Fed is not a government agency, but a cartel of private bankers that cannot be held accountable by Washington. Whatever the Fed does with these supposed new oversight powers will be behind closed doors. Obama's failure to act sends one message loud and clear. He cannot stand up to the powerful Wall Street interests that supplied the bulk of his campaign money for the 2008 election. Nor, for that matter, can Congress, which for much of the same reason. Consider what multi-billionaire banker David Rockefeller wrote in 2002. In his memoirs, some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it. That he wrote this in his own memoirs. Big time move, Flint. I love it. I love it. Way to bring that quote into the main line, okay? That's not just posted on a message board somewhere. That's not just in the comments. That's in the article. Go, Larry. Go, Larry. It's your birthday. Wish you could walk. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this guy took a bullet for free speech. Regardless of what you think of the man, this article is off the charts great. Read Rockefeller's words again. He actually admits to working against the best interests of the United States. Need more? Here's what Rockefeller said in 1994 at a UN dinner. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need now is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. They are gaming us. Our country has been stolen from us. Journalist Matt DeBay writing in the Rolling Stone, who I am not a fan of, who I had a debate online with, which I just had to cut off at some point because I was so damn busy about 9/11 and his smug attitude. I mean, DeBay, anytime you want to debate live on the radio about 9/11, you know I'll own your ass. That's why you refused to do it then. I'm sure you refuse to do it now. If anybody emails him, reads his stuff, tell him the offer's still on the table. I would love to have Matt DeBay on and take him. Yeah, I'll take it to the house on Matt DeBay. Let's be honest. I'm going to make him look like a fool because that's what he is. All right. Let's see. The feat of banking giant Goldman Sachs. DeBay goes on to say that Goldman Sachs has been behind every other economic downturn as well, including the most recent one. As if that wasn't enough, Goldman Sachs even had a hand in pushing gas prices up to $4 a gallon. Weird. The problem with bankers is longstanding. Here's what one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, had to say about them. If the American people allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on a continent their fathers conquered. We all know that the first American Revolution officially began in 1776 with the Declaration of Independence. Less well known is the single strongest motivation factor for a revolution was the colonists' attempt to free themselves from the Bank of England. But how many of you know about the Second Revolution, referred to by historians as Shays' Rebellion? I know about Shays' Rebellion only because I took AP History. Thank you so much, history teacher. Why can't I think of his name? Man, I'm losing it. I can't even think of my history teacher's name, and he's actually a really good guy. Maybe I'll think of it while I do this. It took place in 1786 to 1787, and once again, the banks were the cause. This time, they were putting the screws to America's farmers. Daniel Shays was a farmer in western Massachusetts. Like many other farmers of the day, he He was being driven into bankruptcy by the bank's predatory lending practices. Sound familiar? They've done it to thousands of farmers in this country again and again and again and again throughout history. Throughout history, rallying other farmers to his side, Shea led his rebellion by attacking the courts and the local army. The rebellion itself failed, but a message had been sent. The bankers and politicians who supported them ultimately backed off. As Thomas Jefferson famously quipped in regard to his insurrection, a little rebellion now and then is a good thing. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Perhaps it's time to consider that option once again. Damn, Larry, you're taking it. You're like going up for a layup, and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to lay it up. I'm going to dunk it down. I'm at a powerhouse dunk, hanging on the rim, kicking the dude from underneath, saying, "This is my house." That's what this article is. I'm calling for a national strike, one designed to close the country down for a day. The intent, real campaign finance reform, and strong restrictions on lobbying, because nothing will change until we take corporate money out of politics. Correct. 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 We do need to take corporate money out of politics. This needs to be a government formed by the people again. This guy is on the right track. Nothing will improve until our politicians are once again answerable to their constituents, not the rich and powerful. Let's set a date. No one goes to work. No one buys anything. And if that isn't effective, if the politicians ignore us, we do it again and again and again. The real war is not between the left and the right. It is between the average American and the ruling class. If we come together on this single issue, everything else will resolve itself. It's time we took back our government from those who would make us their slaves. Wow. Big time. This one wins the championship. I have not seen a mainline article this good in years. I think some of the 9/11 truth articles that they printed in Hustler magazine and abroad are nowhere near as good as this one. This is just an unbelievable article, telling it like it is, trying to alert the American people and then to take them into the battlefields, make them active, get them behind something that might work. Larry, keep it up, man. You know, Huffington Post is nice, but let's get it on Drudge. Let's get an op-ed piece in the New York Times. Let's challenge these people. You know, you can do it. You've got the resources, Mr. Flint. And don't forget to, email his people, email his website, and thank him so much for this. Folks, the final segment of the Info Warrior coming up after this, prisonplanet.tv, infowars.com.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slang test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, "Stop snitching." Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get snitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the tree flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the medias these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
And this is the front line of the battlefield. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. If you missed any of the show, you can go pick it up on podcast over at theinfowarrior.com. Or if you're a prisonplanet.tv subscriber, you can go get it on the video as well right after the show. All right, let's try to get through a couple more calls. William Robert, you're on the air. Yes.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Good. I went to one of the last concerts over at the backyard, and Fogerly was there.
Okay.
And it was great. His tuner went across the stage for 30 minutes and tuned 10-plus guitars, and then as it was getting dark, the background came up with frogs and crickets and sounds of the swamp. And
so you're telling me that I missed a Fogerly concert recently?
Oh, man. And hit the lights hit Fogerly and his backup group, which was much better than the Creedence Clearwater, much better. And that guy went down on Born on the Bayou like you wouldn't believe. It was totally outstanding and better than I've ever heard it on that.
Well, sir, you are making me quite jealous. I thank you for the call, just because I'm going to try to jump through a couple more of these. But, man, I do want to see some Fogerly. I love CCR. I'm I know that I'm a younger guy and I'm not supposed to like that genre of music, but you know, CCR's Greatest Hits is one of my favorite CDs. I love Steve Miller Band. I mean, I like all genres of music, and he is incredible. All right, let's go to Justin in Texas. Justin, you're online. Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? So you gave a false name. I should call you Chip Riverdale. You've already called in, and you're just here to bash me. I'll talk to you later. See you later. See, that's how you deal with people that call in under false names. You give their real name. See, they think they're smart, but they're not. They're very small-minded jackasses. And that guy called in, tried to bash me earlier. I knew he called in on a pseudonym. I knew he would answer to his real name because he has a peanut for a brain. And he's like, well, he must know my real name. He's going to give me a chance to talk again. Sorry, Spunky. You're off the air. Final caller. Let's go to DP in California. DP, final minute's yours.
Yes, Jason. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that. Listen, I'm going to kind of check it. The pick and shovel going at this one right here is that years ago I was following Mike Rupert, and then Y2K come in, and I kind of dropped him. And as I started following you and Alex, I went back and looking for him, and his last, I guess you would call it, publication, I think he was dying in Canada or something. And
yeah,
right,
dude, he said he was in Venezuela at first. Listen, Mike Rupert did some really great work with the government drug running, and especially 9/11. The Truth of Lies of 9/11 lecture that he gave was a three-part lecture. One of the first things, that I saw that before I woke up to Jones, you know, and then I also saw the GNN production. I forget what it was called, but it featured Jones and Mike Rupert, and that's where I kind of learned about Alex, and I looked at Road to Tyranny. Now, he put out a press release, one of the first things before he said something about dying in Canada. He said that he had to leave the country and that bad things were happening, and he went to Venezuela. Well, someone found him in Canada, so that was all made up. And I would just like to put it on the record that he attacked me and the other Loose Change filmmakers, saying that we were a carefully crafted piece of CIA disinformation. Look, I can guarantee all the listeners out there that I am not CIA disinformation. I don't have the scratch to be, okay? I'm not funded by some, you know, crazy intelligence agency. I am a straight-laced, straight shooter, man. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to tell you what's up. I'm going to analyze news the way my little brain analyzes it. That's how I roll. I'm the Info Warrior, baby. We'll be back next week, 6 to 9, Sunday, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.